Back home, despite professing the contrary, the federal cabinet has changed the practice for approving new medications for subsidy under the Pharmaceutical Benefits Scheme, the PBS. Despite Australia having an independent assessment process, which is the envy of many countries, the Gillard government has banked up all new medications, including some for cancer, which carry an additional cost, despite having been advised to approve them. Joel Werner has the story.
There are many people with schizophrenia and many carers that expected, given that all of the necessary bridges had been crossed, that it would become available on the 1st of April. We're certainly fielding calls from people saying, would you told us it would be available then? And it's not. What's gone wrong? And we're having to say, well, the government's changed the goalposts.
That's Rob Ramjan, CEO of the Schizophrenia Fellowship of New South Wales, describing how a change in government policy is denying people with schizophrenia subsidised access to the best available treatment. But it's not just people with schizophrenia missing out. Six other treatments for other conditions have also had their subsidies delayed. And the flow-on effects don't stop there. Dr. Brendan Shaw is the Senior Manager of Policy and Research with Medicines Australia.
We have companies right now, for example, that have stock in warehouses with expiry dates that are sitting there, and those companies do not know when their medicines will be available to Australian patients. And I'm already aware of a couple of companies that, if you like, have hit the pause button on bringing new medicines to Australia. They are, if you like, waiting to see how the process unfolds.
So patients are missing out and industry is in the dark. Well, what happened? You might not have even known, but if you've ever been sick and taken medication, chances are you've had some of the cost of that medication subsidised by the federal government. The Pharmaceutical Benefits Scheme, or PBS, is the way the government covers some of the cost of most of the medicines we take, even the expensive ones. It's a rigorous process getting a drug subsidised on the PBS, and it produces some of the most competitive prices in the world. Brendan Shaw.
The process for having a medicine listed on the PBS is a rigorous one, and there's quite an extensive process of evaluation for clinical effectiveness and cost effectiveness that various expert committees make. And that process has been in place for years. It can take quite a lot of time and cost companies quite a lot of money. But through that process, at the end, the expert committees make a recommendation to list a medicine. Prior to the 25th of February, if the cost of that medicine was going to be more than $10 million in any one year, that went to Federal Cabinet for approval. Usually below $10 million a year, the Minister was able to just approve its listing on the PBS without Cabinet approval.
But on the 25th of February this year, buried 10 paragraphs into an otherwise benign media release from the Minister for Health and Ageing, Nicola Roxon, there was a change made to the process by which the government approves drugs to be subsidised.
Two things occurred. One is that the Federal Cabinet for the first time explicitly deferred the listing of a number of medicines and vaccines. The other change was, rather than just requiring medicines costing $10 million or more in any one year needing Cabinet approval, they've now required all new medicines with any net cost to government needing Cabinet approval. So even if a medicine was going to cost $1,000, that now needs to be approved by Cabinet. They have advised that this is due to the current fiscal situation. There's no timetable as to when these medicines will get listed. For Cabinet to be making decisions to list some medicines on the PBS and not others adds a whole new layer of complexity and, frankly, uncertainty, because it's not clear what expertise or evidence politicians are using to override the expert judgment of their own independent expert committees. And as I say, that causes a lot of questions for companies that are trying to work out how to bring new medicines onto the PBS.
While the pharmaceutical industry suffers both in terms of lost revenue and uncertainty over future investment, a different impact is being felt by the patients. As Cabinet assumes absolute control over PBS listing, consumer groups are concerned that the influence of lobby groups might start to play a bigger role in deciding which drugs get subsidised in the future. Carol Bennett is CEO of the Consumer Health Forum, a peak group representing consumers in Australia.
Many of our members have expressed serious concerns about what that might mean in terms of which people with which conditions will actually receive the benefits of cost-effective medications if they have to be the loudest group and ensure that their issue is put before politicians so that they can ensure that medications for their condition get on the PBS.
The medication's currently in limbo. Medications the government's own independent committee has already approved for clinical and cost effectiveness. cater to a variety of medical conditions. Brendan Shaw.
These are medicines and vaccines that will be available for ordinary Australians for conditions like schizophrenia, chronic pain, lung disease, prostate problems. Plus, there was a vaccine, a catch-up program for pneumococcal disease for kids. The government has argued that there are alternatives available, but in fact, when you dig down and look at what the alternatives are, they're either not as good as, or they cost the patients more money. There are some medicines that were deferred that were going to save patients quite a bit of money, and then there are some other medicines that were improvements for patients but have not been listed. As an example, there's a drug for schizophrenia that currently, the one on the PBS, needs at least 2 injections a month. The new one that was deferred by Cabinet only requires 1 injection a month. If you're a schizophrenia patient, that makes a big difference.
The schizophrenia treatments in question are Consta, which is currently PBS listed, and Sustenna, the new improved antipsychotic whose subsidy has been deferred. Not only are patients missing out, but new evidence suggests that the decision to not subsidise Sustenna might actually cost the government money, even though it's supposed to do the exact opposite. Rob Ramjan explains how.
What Sustenna will do is keep people out of hospital. If Sustenna costs $2,000, $4,000 for a year and the person has 5 days less hospitalisation in the year because of that, we've saved money, as well as giving somebody a much better quality of life and putting them on a better track back to employment, which then saves even more money.
But should we even be debating the cost efficacy of subsidising medicine in Australia? In a statement to The Drum last week, Minister Roxon claimed that there had been no change to the way medicines are subsidised. But this flies in the face of what both the pharmaceutical industry and consumer groups are experiencing. The Health Report sought comment from the Prime Minister, the Treasurer, and both the Minister for Health and Ageing and the Minister for Mental Health and Ageing. None were available for comment. The Gillard government is going to extraordinary lengths to race the budget back to surplus. But is that imperative fiscally or politically motivated? And should a budget surplus come at a cost to our health and well-being? Brendan Shaw.
The pharmaceutical benefit scheme is only growing at about 2.7% per annum. That's just about the rate of inflation. So to argue that costs are growing out of control, you just can't make that argument with the pharmaceutical benefit scheme. It raises a general question. You know, I'm surprised that Australia is apparently not a country that can afford to pay for medicines for sick people. I mean, I understand it's a tight fiscal situation. I understand that the government has a lot of spending priorities. But I can't believe that Australia apparently can't afford to pay for new medicines to treat sick people in the future.
Brendan Shaw of Medicines Australia. Joel Werner had the story. I'm Norman Swan and this has been the Health Report. I'll see you next time.